I'd just like to let you know that what we're going to be talking about tonight is transitions, because the world seems to be in more of a transition than it ever has. All the craziness, the stuff that's going on, the changes that are happening faster than they ever happened before. But God told us that in the end times that would happen. Yet we think it's strange and we think it's unexpected, but it's right there in the Word of God if we'll just look at it and receive it. You know, there's all kinds of things that are changing in life, whether we want them to or not. Some of those changes, I'm not all that happy about. It's kind of crazy out there. But what happens when God calls for us to change? How do we recognize it if it's truly God that's directing the change? How do we respond to it? Do we fight and struggle? Lord knows I've done enough of that when he's tried to bring change into my life. That can't be God. No. But it is. Perhaps we submit willingly. On occasion, I've done that. That's really the better way to go. I can't tell you how many times people have come and said, "Pastor, I feel like there's something going on and I'm going to be doing something different." How do I know if it's God? Is it something just because I feel like I want to change? Am I feeling like I need to change because of something that's going on with my friends or the church or something else? How do I recognize that? So let's take a little time and let's talk about these transitions. First of all, what is a transition? A transition is a movement, it's a passage, it's a change from one position to another, just that simple. That sounds simple enough. The problem is, some of those changes aren't always comfortable. It comes from a Latin word, transfer, which means to go across. The word actually is not about the result. It's not about the change itself. It's about the process of going from here to there. That's what transition is about, not the end result. Usually, it's not instantaneous. We love it when somebody comes over and prays for you and you just feel healed right away. And that does happen. But quite often, God takes us through a transition time. And there's a reason that there's a process for this transfer that takes place. It's a series of steps or phases that are involved in the changes, because sometimes we have to go through some things to be ready for what that transfer is going to take us to. We think we're ready. Did you ever think, "Nah, I'm going to quit that and I'm going to do this over here," and you hurry up and you do it, and then when you get there you go, "This isn't what I thought I bought into. I'm not so sure about that." We have to be prepared for that transfer, that change that's taking place. We have all been through transitions in our life, one kind or another. To make it real simple, it's whether we're changed from being a child to an adult, or from being single to being married, or having children introduced into the mix. All those things are significant changes. Sometimes it's a job change. Sometimes it's our obligations. There's so many examples that could be suggested. I'm not going to go on and on with examples. But you get the idea. When God wants you to grow, he makes you uncomfortable. Quite often, when God wants you to grow, he will make you uncomfortable. And the reason that that happens most of the time is for a very simple reason. When you're comfortable, you don't necessarily desire to change. Why would I change? I'm comfortable where I'm sitting. Why would I want to sit over there? That sounds silly. So the Lord will give us a little nudge. And sometimes those nudges are little nudges, and sometimes they're a significant emotional event. In order to get us to get us out of our comfortable place, to get us to the place that he wants us. We usually need a little help in the process. It's like the shepherd moving the sheep. He's got that staff, and every once in a while, he's got to give him a little tap. Say, I want you to keep moving. I don't want to move. I want to eat the grass right here. No, we're going on. The Lord will uncover ungodly behavior or any kind of behavior in an area that's keeping you from his purpose. And that may not be ungodly behavior. It may be something simple, but it's something that's keeping you from God's purpose. And he stretches you into a way that he wants you. Stretches sounds like a simple word, but sometimes when you're stretched, it's pretty uncomfortable. It's nice when it's a simple little stretch, like when you first get out of bed. But it's pretty uncomfortable when you feel like you're on the rack and somebody's turning the crank. And sometimes it can be that uncomfortable. So how do we recognize if God's in the transition? We don't want it to be because of an attitude we have in a moment, or perhaps that we're misjudging what is happening. I can't tell you how many people, you know, when they first accept the Lord, oh, I'm going to be a pastor, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. You need to slow down, take a deep breath before you go jumping in the water. Because you don't know what kind of rocks are in that water that you're jumping into. And we don't want it to just, you know, us misjudging something either. We want to be able to check it out. For one thing, you may feel like you're being redirected. Perhaps there's things starting to fall apart in your life. Why are the things falling apart in my life? It could be something as simple as I need to make an adjustment in my own behavior or my habits. But it could be that God is letting some of those things start to break and crack up a little bit so that we can't have that anymore, that we have to move on. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So when these things start to shake up and we wonder what's going on, I feel like there's a change, something's happening in my life, you don't have to be afraid if you're walking with the Lord. Another way you can look at it is to look at new doors and opportunities. How does that fit in with where you're going? But beware. You have to be aware that they may be taking you out of your comfort zone. And so just because you're seeing a door open or what looks like an opportunity, you still need to say, God, is that you? And pray and ask for an answer about that. And more than likely, it will be taking you out of your comfort zone. Jeremiah 29, verses 11 to 13. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And that's one of the ways that you're able to check out whether it's just your feelings or whether you're hearing from God. You need to seek him with all your heart. You can't be half-hearted about it or figure that Sister Sue or Brother John is going to tell you if that's it or not. You need to be actively engaged, seeking the Lord, saying, Lord, will you please confirm to me what I'm hearing? I don't want to miss you. I don't want to jump just because a door opens, but I don't want to miss it if you're on the other side of that doorway. There may be a situation where there's no more provision. Maybe it's financial or connections or contacts or some other areas are drying up. Philippians 4, verse 19. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I went through a transition one time where the place that I worked at filed bankruptcy. Something was going to change. I didn't control it. I didn't ask for it, but it happened. And so it was around that time when I started getting into ministry full time. Sometimes God allows these things in our life so that we won't stay in our comfort zone, but we'll go out there. And he does supply your needs. It wasn't a bad paying job. You know, I wasn't getting rich at it, but it wasn't a bad paying job. Now what was I going to do to replace it? And working for the Lord, I didn't see where that was going to be. You know, if I was looking at it from a financial standpoint, that didn't look like that was going to be very promising. But I will tell you now that I'm doing better than I ever have because of God. Where there's need, God seems to always supply it. It's amazing. It's truly amazing. Perhaps there'll be a change in your passion. Sometimes our passions change. And I'm not talking about between husbands and wives. There are too many people that get divorced because their passions change. But their passions change for the wrong reasons. That's not what I'm talking about. Little disclaimer. You start to lose interest in what was your passion, something you were working towards. And it starts to go elsewhere. And you're not sure why. If it was a passion, it was something that really interested you. You really had a desire for it. So now, why is that changing? God has a way of making us uncomfortable when we used to be comfortable in order for us to pay attention to his new direction for us. And sometimes that takes that hunger and that passion out for that, and we start to look for what that new hunger and passion is going to be. And that's what the Lord is offering you as you're stepping into the next thing you're going to do. You may even feel a beckoning, a strong desire to move or to change. And you always need to check that out. Why do you have that strong desire to change? There's a pull that's not just a fleshly attraction, but something that goes beyond that. There's something in your spirit that says, you know what? I don't think this is just me wanting to move over there and be on that side of the room instead of this side of the room. I honestly feel inside me there's a reason that I'm supposed to be moving. There's a way to do those checks and balances, and I'll get that into that in a minute. And sometimes God will put you in a situation where you have to change, and there's no turning back. A door closes, whether it's your job, a relationship, or whatever. The door just goes, boom, it's closed. What do I do now? And the Lord says, now that I've got your attention, we can talk. Because you were so focused and so comfortable where you were at, I had to close that door so that you would lean on me instead of leaning on the security of wherever you were at. There can be unavoidable circumstances. Perhaps they're out of your control. Unavoidable things happen. Like I said, when the place I was working at filed bankruptcy, nobody asked my opinion. I just received the end of the deal. Your situation changes. For example, you start having children. That just having children can make a big change in your life. Anybody that's had children knows that. All of a sudden, the house isn't the same. Coming home from the work isn't the same. Your need to work isn't the same because now you have more lives dependent on you and so forth. There's new expectations at work. Perhaps the company that I worked for before it closed up, they started downsizing. And where I was responsible in one or two plants, before long I was responsible in five different plants. The situation changed. I had no control of it. Another way God can get your attention is through failure. Failure is another thing that God can use to bring change into your life. Because sometimes when we get real successful, we get to where we kind of like our success. That's going pretty good. I'm making good money. Everybody's thinking real highly of me. We get a little bit comfortable. That chair we're sitting in starts to become a throne. We kind of like it there. So what happens is God has to allow failure into your life so that you can't stay there anymore. You're no longer able to attain the goal that you were working towards. I thought my business was growing. I thought this was happening. I thought that was happening. And God says, you're so focused on your business or the other things that you're doing, you're not focused on me the way you should be. A transition can also be initiated through godly counsel. A trusted, mature person gives you advice that lines up with what God is saying is his will in your life. Sometimes when some of these other events are going on that I was just talking about, you need to sit down with a mature person in Christ, not just anybody, somebody that's mature in Christ, and sit down and just try to get a little bit of wise counsel. What do you think about this? Well, what are you feeling? Well, I hadn't noticed because I was so busy before, because I was so successful, but now that things have changed and slowed down, I'm beginning to feel this. And you can pray together and you can talk about it and seek God's will for your life. If it's good godly counsel, it's definitely worth having. But I'm emphasizing it that way on purpose because too many times we go to somebody just because they're our friend. And that doesn't mean that they aren't a great friend. But that doesn't necessarily mean that's where you need to go when you want to reassure yourself with what God is saying. That's where you need to go. And another thing is you always need to go through prayer. God, I'm seeking your face. I'm going to pursue you till I get an answer that I know comes from you. And I'm not going to stop praying. I'm not going to stop seeking you. I'm going to hang on to the hem of your garment until I feel comfortable that I'm honestly hearing from you. I want to recognize your voice and your will. John 1, verse 14. Here are some examples of biblical people who did experience transition in their lives. These are only a few. There's a lot of them in the Bible. I think the first one we need to start with is Jesus. Just his transition from heaven to earth. John 1, 14. I can't imagine leaving, being in heaven with the Father, giving all that so I can come to earth and spend 33 years and then get beaten and tortured. Jesus' transition. How about David's transition? He went from shepherd to a king. 1 Samuel 16, verses 5 to 13. Who would have thought this lonely shepherd boy, who was the smallest and the youngest in his family, the least likely to be successful out of any of his brothers, who would have ever pictured that he would become the king? The things that what he went through in the transition, as I'm mentioning each of these, look them up in the Bible. Take a look at what they went through in their transition. Because each one of them went through a process. Look at Paul. He transitioned from a persecutor to a preacher. Can you imagine somebody that's been spending all his time trying to kill you? And then he walks in the door one day and says, hey, you know, when I was riding my horse one day, I got knocked off and God changed my life. And then he wants to stand up here and talk to you. Do you realize what that must have been for him and what it must have been for the people? This is the same guy that as soon as they heard he was going to be in the area, everybody went hiding because they didn't know who he was going to kill or torture or imprison next. And then the next thing you know, he's preaching to them and defending them. That's why I'm saying I'm being brief now, but you really need to take a look at the transitions they went through. Check it out in the Bible. The stories are amazing. Some really bad things happened. Some tough things happened as they went through it. Look at Jesus' disciples. Talk about some examples there. Fisherman, a hated tax collector that was an outcast. He went after the people that were the least likely to succeed from a social standpoint. They went from stinky people, people that were hated, to people that Christ's followers sought out and desired to get to know better. What a change in their lives. I'm going through so fast, I'm not doing it the justice that you need to understand, and that's why I'm imploring you to take some time to read some of these to see what they went through. They didn't all start out perfect, and they didn't go from a blue Cadillac to a pink Cadillac. It didn't happen that way. It was tough. But it also shows you what God can do when he can use your current skills and your knowledge to prepare you for what he's going to do, regardless of where you're coming from. It doesn't matter where you're coming from. God can take those same things that you meant for evil and use them for good. He took my stubbornness about I didn't want to hear that stuff and turned it into a stubbornness about I want to know more and nobody's going to stop me. He turned it around. He can do that in your life. And sometimes the turnaround takes time. Sometimes it's uncomfortable. But when you're obedient, the reward for it is amazing. How about Joseph? There's a story people like to talk about. He went from being a prisoner and betrayed by his own family, and then later on betrayed by a woman that wanted to use him for her personal services, and he turned it down because he wanted to do what was right, and she betrayed him. He went through an awful lot of stuff in his life. And he didn't have one job last Monday and a new job this Monday. There were years involved in his transition. And yet, in the midst of it all, God was with him through it all. And God will be with you through it all in your transition and my transitions. It's whether or not you recognize his presence. It's whether or not you're even looking for his presence so that you can recognize him. A lot of times you can't find what you're not looking for, you know. Seek him, find him, he's there. Your current season will prepare you for what is next. And depending on what you're going through, you might be going, oh boy. What you go through now often reveals what God is preparing for you in the next season. You know, some people like to look at the glass half empty and some half full. What I'm telling you is in the midst of whatever is going on in your life, whether you got a medical diagnosis, whether your job just petered out, whether there's a rough time in your relationship, whatever else might be going on, don't stay focused on the negative side of it. Try to see God. This is happening for a reason. Show me the reason. Help me to grow in you. Help me to grow closer to you. And Lord, if I have to go through this stuff anyway, use it for my good. Either way, I got to walk through it. So use it for my good. Draw me closer to you. Help me to understand you better. Help me to see why I need to know this stuff. There's stuff I get to counsel people about that one of the reasons I can have empathy for it is because I've been through some of this stuff. And I can say, you know what? I honestly understand what you mean. Not because I took Psych 101, but because I took Jesus 101. And he helped me through it. And he showed me that I have to look at that person through Christ's eyes, not through man's flesh eyes. Because the way I see you right now, you know, you need cleaned up a little bit before I'm letting you in the door of the house. But what did Jesus do? He opened the door and said, come on in. We need to embrace transition time. The time that the change is happening to us daily in Christ anyway, whether you recognize it or not, every single day, Christ is making small adjustments in your life. It's just that some days there aren't small adjustments, some days they're big ones. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Knowing that he who has raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. He will be there. He will help to lift us up. I know that that scripture is primarily talking about we will be lifted up with Christ into the heavens and be with the Father, but it's also about he will be with you through all the things that you're doing and help you through those things. There's some mistakes that you need to avoid. One of them is looking back. I'm sure most of you have heard the old analogy, there's a reason the windshield is big and the rearview mirror is small. You want to get in trouble, drive down the road looking backwards to see if everything's going okay behind you. Don't look back. Philippians 3, verses 12 to 14. Now that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, or not that I have already attained or already been perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of for me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of Jesus Christ. We can look back and say, woulda, shoulda, coulda, and I got a whole lot of woulda, coulda, shouldas, and I can't change one of them. But what I can do is change where I'm going, where I'm at now, and how I'm going to conduct myself and what I'm going to do. Another thing is you can lose focus. You get so caught up in your problem, man, the plant just closed, the wife wants a divorce because she's frustrated, the kids are getting in trouble. You get so caught up in everything else, you take your eyes off God and say, God, instead of saying, God, I need you, and help me through this, you don't even think about God. You just think, how am I going to survive this? It's anything that directs our attention to anything but Jesus. Excuse me. It can be anything that distracts you from Jesus. It keeps you from being focused on what the Lord is doing in your life. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. It didn't say he might, it said he shall. But it says you have to lean on him in all your ways. Not, Lord, I'll give you this, but this stuff over here, I got it. Really? You have to be vigilant. You have to be constantly seeking the Lord. He will help direct your path through that mess. And you know, I've been through a mess where I've looked back and I thought, wow, I can see where God was in it. It was amazing. How about fear? That's one of the biggest things that gets us in trouble. When fear creeps in, it affects our judgment. It keeps us from moving forward in the right direction. It can be fear of the unknown. It might be fear of what we're expecting. You know, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't have a job now. You know, I'm fearful because of what the doctor just said. How am I going to do? How am I going to live through this? What's going to happen? Joshua 1:9. Have I not told you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid or dismayed, for the Lord God is with you wherever you go. Wherever you go. whether it's somebody we've talked to that's been behind a jail cell, somebody that's laying in a hospital bed wondering, am I ever going to get out of this bed again? Whether it's somebody that's got a large family and they're figuring out, how am I going to take care of them now? My spouse left and I've got all the kids and I just lost my job. What do I do? God will be with you wherever you go. I've been through some tough places. I'm not any better or any worse than anybody that's listening or watching right now. I'm just saying, I've been through some tough places, and I am telling you, God will be with you wherever you go. Scripture will help you to get through your doubts and your fears. Let me give you just a couple. There's a lot. There's hundreds of them in there. How about Lamentations 3, verses 21 to 23? It tells us that God's mercies are new every morning to help us. Why do you think God told us ahead of time that his mercies were going to be new every morning? He knows the beginning to the end. He knows every day, guess what? The battle starts all over again. And he knew that. But he loved us enough that his mercies would be new every morning, that his love would be there and his presence would be there. Psalm 119, verse 105, says that the word equips us and lights our path. You can fill yourself up with the negativity of the news and what the world is saying and all these other things, or you can fill yourself up with the word of God and stand on it. Lord, I don't think the world's ever been more upside down. It's crazy. And the Lord said, I know the beginning to the end. I am with you. Be at peace. You guys know the story about the disciples in the storm. As long as Peter stayed focused on the Lord, he was able to walk on the water and go straight towards the Lord. When did he start to fail and sink? That's right. He took his eyes off the Lord. And we do the same thing, but we just don't realize it. But you don't understand what I'm going through. God knows. God understands. Do you think you're smarter than God? That's a dangerous place to be, if you do. Philippians 4:13. Most everybody knows this one. I can do all things with Christ Jesus, right? That's right. But it says it's with Christ. If you want to wander off on your own, God's a gentleman. He'll say, okay. But guess what? It gets awful lonely out there, and it can get pretty rough. You're going to want to come out of those streets and get back to be with the Lord again pretty quick. Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Gee, you mean you don't want to be part of the Pepsi generation? You don't want to be the one driving the new Lexus? You don't want to be out there being the cool guy, doing whatever, joining these groups that do this and do that? No, I don't. I want to be where God wants me to be, doing the things that God wants me to do. The world will try to tell you, no, you need to do this and this and this. If you don't look like you're 22 and work out every day, there's something wrong with you. Well, I got news for you. You're not going to be 22 forever. And a lot of things in life can happen to affect how much you can really work out. Don't conform to the world. That's a trail that's going to lead you to a place that you don't want to go. And Satan will make it so comfortable and so appealing that you'll say, what can be wrong with this? Why would I take that path over there? It's kind of narrow and it's kind of dusty. there's only one path that leads towards salvation. We have to remember that we don't start out being finished. One of the things about the way things are today is there used to be a time when people had to grow the food, butcher it, maybe clean it up, can it. Took a long time to cook it and prepare it. And people had to be patient until that happened. Now, journeys that used to take 6 months to go across country, you can be across in a couple hours. You go to the drive-thru and you're impatient because it took longer than 30 seconds to get your food. We want our answers now, we want it our way. We have to slow back down and start focusing on what the Lord is saying. He will guide us through the adjustments, and he will guide us through the transitions that we go through if we will focus on him. So I just encourage you, regardless of what you may be facing or looking at or thinking about right now, whether you're currently going through a good time or a bad time, or just in a good, comfortable place, seek the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? What is your will? He loves you right where you're at. He's forgiven you regardless of what you've done, but you have to receive it. Don't be like the little kid that takes off because he sees this shiny thing and that shiny thing, and then pretty soon he can't figure out his way out of the store. Stay with Abba Father, and he'll show you the way. Father God, I pray that I didn't deviate from where you wanted us to go. I pray, Lord, that my words were your words. Forgive me if there's any place where I erred. But Lord, we need to seek your face. And we need to be as close to you as we can possibly get. I don't want to be in a place where you have to send a messenger looking for me. I want to be in a place where you can whisper and I can go, yes, Lord, I want to be that close to you. Help us, Lord, to try not to get ahead of you thinking we got it and not fall behind you because we become laggards and just tired and frustrated. But instead to be steadfast in staying just right next to you, because there is no better place to be. Thank you for your love. Thank you that as foolish as we can be, you still forgive us. We give it all to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, thank you.